Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
What parallels do you see with the crypto crash of 2022 and the housing crash of 2008?
The biggest thing that I see, everyone please write this down, that over-leveraging leads to disaster. I haven't proven it yet, and I try to only talk about my conspiracy theories that become true when I have like a preponderance of data. But the biggest thing that I'm seeing, I feel as if, and I'll prove this in a couple of weeks, that a lot of the banking institutions allow these crypto platforms to over-leverage, to let them blow up so they can then either bail them out or take them over. So in 2008, when a housing crisis happened, Lehman had a chance to get saved. They didn't. Bear Stearns had a chance to get saved. They didn't want to. Warren Buffett did his James Pierpont Morgan. If you go listen to the episode with Josh Brown, that's one of the people that he has in the background, which the bank was originated, JP Morgan, and the regulations came down heavy from that. So no one person could save the United States of America. And then, of course, like I said, Warren Buffett bailed out Bank of America and got preferred shares. I think what is causing and accelerating this crash is over-leveraging like crazy. For those of you who over-leveraged in 2018 and 2017, and you had 20x leverage or 50x leverage, even BitBoy talked about how he used leveraging Bitcoin to make a lot of money. But when those loans get called and the money isn't there, now we're seeing that a lot of these brokerages don't have enough money to even remain solvent, which on the other side presents an opportunity. So when someone is going under, someone like Sam from FTX, he can come in and buy a lot of these and be the Warren Buffett of the crypto space. I'll talk about it later in the slides, but even with, and I know, you know, some people in crypto may not like my takes, but the truth is I love blockchain technology, but when I'm reading the paperwork from VCs, angels, and even some of the people that own these platforms, they're not doing their deals on the chain. They're doing them off of the chain and doing backdoor deals with banks. So the thing that I'm seeing is over-leveraging, and then the banks are waiting for these things to go under so they can buy them for pennies on the dollar. What do you guys think?
I think that's the perfect word, over-leverage. And it's funny because you brought up the cryptocurrency situation with FTX. I actually wrote that in my notes. I'm like, you know, BlockFi going under, but why? They didn't have stability. And so it leaves an FTX to say, all right, well, we've got something working over here. Let's see if we can acquire you. I wouldn't be surprised to see more entities saying, all right, well, let's just go for our pickings. All right, they're about to go under. They're about to go under. Let's make ourselves the number one position in this space. Let's be the authority in the space. So I think over leverage is perfect because we saw it in the housing market, right? We can see it in stocks as well, not even just in crypto, where people are saying, let's buy this at the highest value. They over-leveraged, right? And now when the market pulls back, now as you said, that we're obviously two negative quarters, but the NASDAQ is down 30%. S&P is down over 20%. Dow was over 20. It pulled back to 15%, but we were over-leveraged. And we said this, like, listen, there's different ways that you can to balance your portfolio. You should have cash reserves. We said all these things. And so, yeah, it's very comparable. Very comparable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at my notes. Voyager owes $650 million. Three Arrows Capital got liquidated. Like, it looks, if you take the headlines away from crypto and just put it with housing and banks, the headlines from today look like 2007, 2008 all over again. And unfortunately, we don't learn our lesson. Go ahead.
The interesting part is, like, when you say the headlines, it's funny because, like, we used to say this all the time. Like, if this thing was happening in, like, in the, like, the world, not in the world of crypto, this would be like major news. But you have go into, like, crypto.com, and you have to go to all these other sources for crypto news to even know that this is happening.
Well, because it's still not widely adopted. So the vast majority of people don't own cryptocurrency, where, as opposed to houses, where
that's national news,
you know,
world news.
Everybody either owns a house or lives in a house in some capacity, apartment, you live in house, some form of housing. Mm-hmm. So that affects the vast majority of people when we have a housing crash, as opposed to a crypto crash, where I don't know how many Americans actually own crypto, but I think it's less than 10%. I think. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's still a small portion of the population.
Yeah, that's what we went through 2017, and I think you said this. You were like, look, this is dangerous because they've lost over, I think, like $100 billion in their market cap, and nothing has changed in the world, really.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people are just moving.
Well, that's my whole thing with crypto, and I love crypto, but the reality of it is that if every single cryptocurrency went away today, it doesn't drastically change anything. And that's why, you know, you have to be cautious when you're looking at crypto. Where it's like, if every single company on the stock market went away today, life is pretty much over as we know it. Like, if Apple and Home Depot and Target and Amazon and Facebook, if all these companies disappeared today, we wouldn't be able to have this conversation because Zoom wouldn't be there. And then there wouldn't be, YouTube wouldn't be there because Google would be disappeared. So think about how that would affect your life.
Right.
If all the houses went away today, how many, that would be crazy. Like, everybody would be in the streets. It would be like World War III.
Or the price of rent would probably go up 5x overnight.
Yeah. Even stuff like oil. If all the oil dried up today, that would cause a major, major issue. Right. But it's like, you have things, and this is why, you know, when you look at crypto, you have to look at its use case, and you have to look at the future of it, but you have to also look at right now, today. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is that it's not being used as currency for the most part. Mm-hmm. It's being used as a store of value, hold, so it can go up in value.
Security. Yeah.
It doesn't have mass adoption. The vast majority of people don't own cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. So this is why it's still a niche investment and not something that you should pour all of your resources in. It shouldn't be like the majority of your portfolio, because there's still a lot of unanswered questions about it. And like I said, if it disappeared today, life goes on.
Okay.
And one thing I want to remind people of is to listen to every episode of the show, not for our benefit or our viewership, but there are some master lessons that have been shared. Like, that's why, shout out to everybody on Twitter. Like, the original call for Bitcoin to drop to 20,000 was in 2020, May 30th of 2020. Like, look how much headache alone that could have saved a lot of people. Second point I want to make, the best assets will never be shared to the public in advance about what to invest in. You know how you know that's true? Bill Gates didn't announce when he bought all that land, and then a Chinese firm bought 300 acres in North Dakota, close to a military base. Mm-hmm. No one's talking about it. They did not get on TikTok and say, hey, if y'all want to crowdfund into this deal and buy these acres, by the time most great investments get to the public and the words are trapped, it's already stepped on. No good. The purpose of buying investments is to have an edge that no one else has. And I hate that this is happening in crypto space. And some investors are learning this lesson the hard way. But David Freeberg had a good point. He was like, if Bitcoin is going to be a store of currency, why is it measured in dollars then? That alone is an indication that it's not going to replace the dollar. Like, if you're judging the value based on dollar and not your own currency metric, it's never going to surpass the dollar as a primary instrument or tool of currency. So please be careful. I'm still a believer in it. I told you guys it was going to go to 20. I told you the other price where it could bottom out at. Some of you said it was crazy. I hope it does not go there. But if it does, you can't say I didn't tell you.
There you have it.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.